What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the Other Side of the Firewall podcast, where we talk about the latest and greatest in cybersecurity news, as well as we highlight those movers and shakers and glass ceiling breakers, as people of color have made to the other side of the proverbial firewall. My name is Ryan Williams, and as always, I'm joined by Chris Abacon.
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on? And then special guests, we have Daniel on the podcast for all the entire week. So if you have not already, check out Monday and Tuesday, where we have our topics. And then Friday, he'll break down his cybersecurity origin story, his background, his experience. So how are you doing today?
Doing good, guy. Let's go. Let's dive into this.
There it is. So without further ado, oh, yeah, please like, share, subscribe. I always forget. And then without further ado now, I give it to Chris.
Awesome. So today's article is by PC Magazine. So second ransomware group demands UnitedHealth pay for stolen data by Michael Kahn. All right. So this is really another chapter in the UnitedHealth group ransomware attacks, you know, continued effort to recover from this February's ransomware attack. Right. But new and a second hacking group is now demanding that the healthcare provider is to pay a ransom or it'll sell the company's stolen data to the highest bidder. So the group is Ransom Hub, and it emerged in February. But now they claim they have stolen 4 terabytes of data from UnitedHealth changed healthcare subsidiary to include personal details, medical records, and, you know, for millions of patients potentially, right? So in the article, they say Change Healthcare and UnitedHealth, you have one chance in protecting your client's data, Ransom Hub wrote in this site on the dark web. The data has not been leaked anywhere, and any decent threat intelligence would confirm that the data has not been shared or posted, right? But now they're demanding that additional payout. But then, interestingly enough, this group claims it was behind the original ransomware attack in February while working with an affiliate member, Alfie or Black Cat ransomware gang. So, I mean, this is really just interesting. So it seems like there's contracting issues from Black Cat as their subcontractor Ransom Hub performed the attack, and now they're having issues with each other, right? But then back then, Black Cat claimed that it's stolen 6 terabytes of company data, and where, of course, I think this has been covered in previous podcasts, allegedly paid a $22 million ransom to ALFE or Black Hat. The problem is, apparently, that they were swindled out of the $22 million payment without sharing profits with the affiliate member that pulled off the attack. So, and since then, Alpha at Black Hat has shut down its operations. So this is a very interesting article because
there's no honor amongst thieves, right?
There's no honor amongst thieves, absolutely, right? So I joked about it earlier, right? So we joked about it, but hey, it looked like Ransom Hub needed to have some type of, you know, contract with Black Hat. What's going on here again? But there's no honor. There's no honor amongst thieves, right? So they made out like bandits and said, buy, you know, they, I guess the ransom feels like they're the useful idiots in this case. So further down in the article, it talks about some security should say it's possible that Ransom Hub is lying. So they haven't posted any sample data, right? So they could just be looking for that mad payout from the gang itself. And then I did want to end with the tweet they had. If we had to guess, we would guess the ransomware affiliate Alpha would simply moved over to Ransom Hub and would want to collect their approximately, you know, 80% of their original payment they were believed due, right? So it's possible these are the same people, right? But again, thieves work in mysterious ways. You know, hackers work in mysterious ways. So again, I wanted to pass on Daniel. What do you think? This is a really wild article.
This is the funnest article of the week. Yeah. I feel like it's almost like when you're like at work and you're doing like a big project and then one guy's like, yeah, don't worry, I got it. And then like, I'll go talk with our bosses and then like turn everything in. It's like, yeah, look at all the stuff I did. And then the rest of the team's left like, what is going on here? Like, he wasn't even involved half of this. You know, allegedly they still have four terabytes of data. It hasn't been leaked in any of the intelligence gathering platforms, right? So it's kind of like they're showing, hey, we got your information. There's even like a letter like, hello, United Healthcare Group. You know, if you want your data back, blah, blah, blah. do these things pay us more, but they haven't shown that they still have that data. So it's very much could be that there's someone that actually executed the hack from RansomHub that's now moved or is now with Black Hat. And it's like, hey, I still need my payout, right? But it's not providing the data, not providing the hash of the data, not providing anything, right? So they're just kind of posturing. Like they send them a letter, they show the snippet of like, hey, this is what we got. It was leaked on Twitter and all the like social media platforms, but there's no actual concrete proof. But it's just kind of funny, like no honor amongst these. We keep on saying we got a real pirate situation here. It's like a real con move, right? Like you'll see this like you got Scarface or like any kind of like, you know, like this internet drug deal pretty much. Like, hey, yeah, no, we still got the stuff. You don't have everything. We're just trying to get more out of you. What do you think, Ryan?
So I think it not only highlights how complex this shady side of ransomware is becoming, right? They're performing like primes and subprimes contracts, right? Like they have a whole court system. We talked about, I think last year, where there's a darknet court system where you have people arbitrate between the different parties. They do mediation to make sure everybody gets their payout and what have you. Or both of you suggest, perhaps this is just a veiled attempt to get some money because they didn't get it from being Black Hat and Alfi. Now they're like, well, now we're RansomHub. And, you know, we made up this elaborate story in order to get some of this money that we feel is due because the DOJ is cracking down all of our systems. They're shutting us down, basically. So let's migrate. And we kind of talked about that when we initially talked about the article, how this stuff reemerges, like the FBI and the Department of Justice say double dipping is normal. So that's why you don't pay the first time, because then you might be expected to pay again and again. So if anything, this will leave a bad taste in the mouths of people moving forward. Like, well, why should I pay? You're just going to circle back around and say, oh, I got some new stuff that you're unaware of. But also, please like, share, subscribe. I forgot to say that. To the podcast, all the things, connect with us, all the platforms. We're really just trying to drive our numbers up, so greatly appreciated. But it's why should I trust you? You already stole from me, and now you're trying to steal from me again. it's like, do not pay them. Do not pay ransomers. Like the other countries are making it much harder. Like the EU doesn't even allow it, right? Like you will be fined if you try to pay a ransomer. We don't do that in the US because obviously freedom, right? So our mindset is we prefer for you not to. We'll give you all the services in the world and we will try to help you. But at the end of the day, it's kind of hard to put that cap on the free market and say you cannot pay. That might be the future. With more regulation coming in, like maybe we're building the framework for that now in order to one day flip the switch and say, hey, you cannot pay. But as of right now, it's just highly discouraged. Like, please don't pay. But at the end of the day, it's between you and your investors and your bottom line. If you got the dough, go ahead and do it. But in this case, you see like, okay, if you did pay, so if United Health had paid, they would have got punched again and had to pay again. So you see the logic here. Like, you can't trust people who steal.
It's kind of difficult, though, because I remember ransomware back when it first started being, you know, a big, like, hacking avenue. You know, the worrisome thing on the business side, right? Like, what we have to worry about is, like, not gaining access to our data. And it's evolved so much to, like, well, we don't care if you gain access to your data. We'll make you pay to gain access to your data, and then we'll make you pay to make sure that we don't just leak all your data in the open web. So, you know, it's such a hard, like, ransomware as something that a business has to think of is so multi-tiered as like a concerning thing,
right?
That, you know, if you pay, even if you pay, there's no guarantee that they won't disclose it. They won't keep the data. They won't delete the data. Right. So
they won't give you the key. You give them money and they're like, about that. You're not getting the key to unlock your stuff.
Yeah.
So it really goes into, I think the reason that this is evolving is because we are getting better at backing up our data, right? Mm-hmm. So in the past, like, people were just not good at it. They kept everything in one place. Boom, all the data is stolen, right? So now we're getting better at backups. We have cold, warm, and hot sites, all that good stuff. So how do we create a different offering? Like in a really weird space, right? Saying like me as a ransomware, business, how do I create another tier, like you said, to still eke out some money from this. Yeah. So now that's disclosure. Like, we will push out this information. We'll make you look bad. And then we'll also potentially make money off of that, because we can sell this data part and parcel to other organizations. At the end of the day, I mean, it really comes down to, like, make sure the breach doesn't happen, right? Better training for your employees in case it was social engineering, or they clicked the link of some sort. Better security, put your money where your mouth is. Stop saying that you're big into protecting your people and then not doing it, right? Where is that money actually going to? And then see, like, when it will happen to some organizations, regardless of how much they put up, because they're just a prime target, like healthcare right now, because medical records, $60 a pop. And that price might even go up, right? Because as it gets harder and harder to mine that data, it'll become, the demand will outstrip the supply, and then that money will eke up, right? It might be $100 next year. It could be, you know, whatever in between. So it's a lucrative target. So what do you do in that case? Now you have to have mitigating strategy. Like, okay, they stole it, but they only got this. They stole it, they only got that. We're able to mask this. We didn't have all these things in one place, so they're only able to steal that. Like you said, it's a multi-tier thing, and you just have to, in this case, build the most efficient yet robust incident response plan and disaster recovery plan that you can. You just have to keep iterating and evolving, and I think that'll become a new space within GRC, is looking at these different frameworks and determining, like, how deep do we need to dive to protect whatever this thing is. So in this case, medical records being so lucrative, I think it's going to have to be just that much more robust. So that's my two cents, right? Like, me trying to put on my consultant hat and think about it. If I am working for a company that is medical, I have to build a better mousetrap. I have to think of, like, how do I protect this very lucrative data that's super sensitive, to keep this clientele safe? Because before, it was all about banks. Then it was all about who knows what, right? Like, AT&T came up this week, T-Mobile came up a couple weeks ago. So it was like data communications was also getting beat up left and right. We talked about Roku earlier in the week, right? Like, people making purchases and things of that nature. That's also lucrative, but, like, still pales in comparison to medical records. Like, that data can be used for so many different things, to include blackmail down to,
civil unrest, and just, like, people's, you know, medical and patient information, and just, you know, holding that ransom, and, your mother, your grandmother, like, your kid, like, all those kind of things. I know it's a slippery slide we're going down. I even had conversations with people this week about medical information in general, and some of the people that are more in the IT field. I was like, why is this even online, right? Like, that, systems like this.
There was a big push for it. So, like, I guess to shed some light, my mom, Army veteran, she worked for the VA, and she did transcribing of medical records, because they used to all be hard records, right? And then you had to mail them between hospitals, and it was just cumbersome. So it's the rough. Big push was to digitize all these records. It'll make it so much simpler, and it'll provide better care for our patients. And unfortunately, now you're starting to see that now that data is being harvested by the bad guys, because now it's accessible, right? They don't have to break into a hospital to get your medical record. So...
Yeah. And access, access is one thing, but then ease access to the bad guys too, right? So I'm just wondering, you know, I had that conversation this week with people at work. It's just like, then how would we fix the issue from, like, a, you know, ease of access for the doctors to gain medical information that needs to be updated to, you know, for operations, diseases, they need to look up the information. Then you have a whole slew of other, like, IT related kind of, like, architecture and ease of access issues that you'd have to kind of figure out. So, you know, I don't think the fine line between security and IT infrastructure is there for what the medical need and protection is nowadays. So it's going to be a whole new thing.
Pretty archaic systems. Like, we talk about WannaCry back in the day. That was one of the biggest breaches, right? The National Health Service over and then the EU. Yeah, all the EU was impacted by it because they were still running off, like, Windows 95, right? Yep. So medical has been kind of behind for a while now. Case in point, the digitizing medical records, right? Like, they was all hard records at one point, which in this case, that would aid, but at the same time, that would hamper clinicians from getting the proper data to treat people, right? Like, how do you get a record that's in a different state? Yeah. It has to be mailed to you and transcribed and faxed. Like, who uses a fax? I have to go to the library to find a fax machine, right? Like, it's very hard to find those things. So it's just a product of the digital age. Like again, when you look at the triad, right? The triangle being confidentiality, integrity, and availability. It's how do you make that? How do you make those mitigations? Like, how do you say, okay, we need to be able to access information, but we want to make sure that the integrity is there. We want to make sure it stays confidential. It's very hard to balance that triangle, especially on the medical side. And with we talked about it, I want to say last year, like even stuff like Red Cross was hit, and everybody was like, well, why would you hit the Red Cross? Like, what data can be used or gleaned from that? Well, now you can determine where people came from, right? Like, you have refugee information, things of that nature. You can blackmail people. You can find out where their parents are at and then hit them for, like, oh, you know, so-and-so needs money because they're being moved from this location to this location, right? You can completely fabricate stories in order to extort and blackmail people to get more money out of them. Like, these people are super smart. I wish they were on the good guy side. We need these ideas. But no, they're figuring out how to make money without having to do a bunch of work. Yes, it's crazy out there. So with that being said, I think we scared our audience enough. Terrorized the audience enough with this one. And please continue to tune in throughout the week. So again, Monday and Tuesday were our topics. Wednesday, this was our discussion. Thursdays, I have on Kane McGladry from Hyperproof. He is their field CISO. Nice. We have a really good conversation concerning the current SEC and all those rules, the disclosures, the future of AI integration within GRC, and just Hyperproof as a company and their tool, which I find to be amazing. So definitely check out that conversation. I should have put that in the top of every episode. I'm gonna get better at this hosting thing. I tell you what, definitely tune in for that one. I'm sure you'll see a lot of different posts I'll make throughout the week for that one. And then next week, I'll have on Chelsea Pierre. So Chelsea Pierre is one of our first guests of all time, right? She's one of the first people to ever come on the show. And we break down what she's currently doing with her company and then the future. She has a bunch of initiatives that are coming up in the near future. And we'll definitely have that discussion. Hopefully, I have a voice for Friday's episode. So tune in for that one. We'll be breaking down Daniel's cybersecurity origin story, his background experience as well. He's on the show all week long. Hit up all the websites that go by our name, The Other Side of the Firewall, The Other Side of the FW, or Ask AssistP on all the platforms you could think of. And then subscribe to the newsletter so it can be delivered to your inbox every Friday. And read our articles. If you're a type of person who doesn't want to listen or watch, but you like to read, we hit all the senses, right? We got everything for you. So check out all that stuff. Again, continue to tune in. Thank you for sticking with us for over 560 something episodes, right? We're getting up there. Stay safe, stay secure.